This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Lucy Hart, hello. Marketing, product development roles, and formulation roles across Tom Ford, Huda Beauty, and Beauty Pie. Incredible portfolio.
Thanks.
How did you begin your journey in this field?
Well, I've always loved science. I did science at school and at uni. And I think in the UK, we're quite limited with the kind of roles that are kind of given to us. Like, I didn't want to go into medicine. I didn't want to go into research or any of that stuff. And so I did a bit of research, speaking of, and found this master's in Paris in cosmetic formulation. And so moved there to do that. And it just like opened my eyes to this whole other world of jobs and careers. Like, it's such a huge industry in France that they know when they study science that these roles are an opportunity for them.
You say if you want to become a cosmetic formulator, you should go to Paris or go to France?
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot more opportunities there for sure.
Okay.
Even like nowadays, I think there's even one you can do in London, to be fair, and there's lots of online courses, but that's definitely the hub, especially for things like fragrance.
Do you need a chemistry background?
Ideally, you would want to have a chemistry or biology background, because there are a few modules that would be challenging without, but
is that
I don't
what
think
you
it's
have?
Impossible.
GCSE, A-level?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Oh, it's very fun,
you
yes.
really are a scientist, you look cool.
In my lab coat, my white coat.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was good.
Can you briefly walk any dummy through, i.e. me, the process of formulating a skincare product?
Yeah,
where
sure.
do you even start?
I mean, to be honest with you, I will always start with like a really thorough competitive research. Like, I want to know the market back to front. I want to know what's out there, and more importantly, what's not out there, so I can make sure I'm bringing something to market that actually really has a place. Mm-hmm. And then once you've done that and kind of tried lots of products, seen what texture you like, what fragrance, formula, you name it, then you kind of decide the basics, like what kind of product do you want to work on. So for example, I'm working on a like really rich, creamy moisturizer right now, so I know that that's an emulsion, and in this case, it's a water in oil emulsion. So it's like essentially oil is what we call the continuous phase, like the main phase.
Okay.
And then from that point, you've made your mix, and then you do the fun part, which is sprinkling in the actives.
Okay.
And I've kind of always been of the belief that fewer but higher percentage actives is better.
Okay.
Rather than what happens quite a lot in our industry, where people will do lots of different actives, but then they'll put them in at a really, really low percentage.
Right.
And once we've done that, we will do something called compatibility and stability testing. Mm-hmm. Once you have your final formula through lots of trial and error, one of those is in like a standard lab pack, and one will be in your final packaging that you're launching the product in. You do those both side by side for 3 months, and they're very important to kind of see how the formula reacts with light, with heat, mm-hmm. with the package itself sometimes. And then from that point, your formula's good to go, you can order the materials and go
and
to mass
production.
Yeah.
Wow. And then what are some of the challenges when formulating natural or organic skincare products that you've come across?
Okay, so I might give a quite controversial answer here. I'm probably not the best person to ask when it comes to natural skincare, because I am, if I'm totally honest, a little bit skeptical. And I find that sometimes all natural skincare comes with quite a lot of scaremongering and this mentality that natural equals better for you or better for the planet, or it's just not really the case at all.
Okay.
There are some amazing natural brands like Tata Harper, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Vintner's Daughter is like my all-time favorite product.
Okay.
But I think sometimes, yeah, there's these misconceptions around natural beauty.
Okay. And then I want to talk about more about the type of formulations that, you know, you just mentioned emulsification, etc., and the type of ingredients. How do you determine the optimal concentration of active ingredients in skincare, you know, to achieve the maximum efficacy, but without causing irritation? Because obviously we want the most hyaluronic acid, but,
yeah,
or, you know,
for sure.
Retinol.
So it actually is made quite easy for formulators. When you get an active ingredient, you get given like a recommended range. So right now I'm working on this hyaluronic acid, and I think the range is between 0.25 to 2%. And we're working at the top end of that, so 2%, to make sure we get the highest possible results and yield, yeah, with the perfect amount. I will say a lot of the time it's actually the more natural ingredients that cause sensitivity. So things like essential oils or fragrance are quite common for giving adverse reactions.
Okay.
Or also like stripping alcohols in formulas.
Okay.
And often as well, it's when people tend to misuse very strong products like retinols or acids, just going in too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as well, there's this real sense of like overconsumption that's encouraged quite a lot in our industry, and mm-hmm. to make people buy as many products as possible, overload your skin, 12-step skincare routines, and I think sometimes it can just lead to this, like, you're basically you're breaking out, you're overloading yourself, and your skin's kind of like, just chill.
Going berserk.
Yeah.
Can you share any tips or strategies for consumers just like me to identify high-quality skincare products based on just the ingredients list? Because we don't get to see the percentage of the ingredients, nor would I actually even know how to navigate it.
No, and there's also like quite a sneaky trick that brands can do where I think now consumers are aware that the ingredient list, you go from the most potent to the lowest concentration at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But anything under 1%, a brand can rejig.
Right.
So often it's a trick that's used to make, say, they sprinkle in like 0.002% niacinamide. You can shuffle it up to the top of your under 1% line and make it seem like it's a lot
and
higher.
And that's allowed, that's compliant.
It's compliant, yeah.
So then a product might necessarily, it will mention it has niacinamide, but actually it's such a low
super
concentration
low.
It won't do anything.
Yeah, but then there's a trick that you can do to see if it's at that percentage. So typically brands will use wording like known for or known to reduce the appearance of. And if there's that wording, for me that's like a red flag, and that means your active ingredients at quite a low percentage, because you cannot claim niacinamide does this. You have to say it's known for doing this.
Right.
So the other day I was in Harrods, a very big brand that I won't name, but it's up in the sort of top 25% price-wise.
Mm-hmm.
One of their eye creams had all these claims like known for reducing the appearance of, and it kind of blew my mind that they were also doing that.
There's a red flag in
beauty products. Red flag, yeah.
And what are some of the misconceptions about skincare ingredients that you often encounter on the back of that?
It probably comes down to this natural equals better.
Okay.
It gives me a real like bee in my bonnet, because it's not always better. Like as we mentioned, some of the most sensitizing ingredients, like essential oils, like fragrance, come from natural extracts. And also as far as like a sustainability point of view goes, relying on something where you have to farm or there's a lot of waste, it's very labor intensive, it's very carbon intensive, versus using what can be a bioidentical product that's synthesized in the lab, that's technically synthetic. For me, it's just a no-brainer. I think that chemicals and synthetic products are fantastic in formulations and
wow,
all natural skincare.
So much. You're completely changing my perception of formulation.
But it feels good. It does feel good.
Next question. Is shelf life a real thing in skincare? Do products go out of date? I think they do, but better to hear from you.
They do indeed. So we tend to talk about two things with regards to shelf life. So one is like the shelf life, which is quite self-explanatory, like how long can a product sit on a shelf unopened and be okay, not spoil or not turn bad, essentially. And then another one is something called PAO. And so you'll see it on the back of most skincare products, and it looks like a little jar with a lid open. And then it will have like a 6M or 18M or 12M. And that's period after opening. So that's then once you've opened the product, how long you have.
Does that mean anything? Because I'm always thinking, oh, is it actually a marketing thing they want to, you to buy within the next 6 months?
No, absolutely. Okay. Well, it's only once you've opened it, Fine. Then that's your clock ticks from then. And so it's not just kind of bacterial contamination or microorganisms you need to worry about when it comes to shelf life. Mm-hmm. So it's more things like, for vitamin C, for example, is really sensitive to light. Mm-hmm. So it's particularly important once you've opened the product, because after a limited amount of time, it's going to start to degrade, it's less effective, it's going to smell, it's probably going to discolour your product.
Okay.
So all those things are kind of taken into consideration when looking at shelf life and PAO.
Have you worked with any unconventional ingredients, or are you working on something now with something that you can share?
Yeah, I'm working with snow mushroom at the moment.
Okay.
It's really cool. It's got this like weird, gooey, slimy texture to it. Kind of like snail mucin.
Yeah, I love snail mucin.
Me too.
The
but
texture
this is vegan.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the gooey texture.
Yeah.
It's like that. Okay. But it's also so nourishing. It makes your skin really glowy. It's known as nature's hyaluronic acid. And it's just a really cool shape. And just the way it works in formulas is amazing.
Very exciting. Are there any emerging trends that you're spotting or you're picking up now in formulation?
I think the move towards sustainability is definitely coming on leaps and bounds.
Okay.
When it comes to kind of the way products are made as well, like the way actual raw materials are made. Mm-hmm. So like, I know I touched upon it before, rather than going through traditional farming methods, loads of manufacturers are now using biotechnology and fermentation to create ingredients in the lab that are exactly the same, but they're cheaper, mm-hmm. they're better for the environment, and they work amazingly in formulas too. So yeah, it's very cool.
What advice do you have for aspiring cosmetic and skincare formulators?
I would say nowadays there's a lot of really good stuff on like YouTube and social media about formulating products. Mm-hmm. It's going to make me sound really old, but I don't think that was as prevalent when I was starting.
Yeah.
And then if you can, I would say doing some further education, like a master's or an online course is amazing. It's invaluable. Or even going to trade shows, they're open to the public a lot of the time, like in cosmetics, Cosmoprof. Go as a consumer, meet people, chat, learn about trends.
Okay. Yeah. Getting more personal.
Okay.
What are some of your all-time favorite skincare products that you swear by?
The COSRX Snail Mucin.
Okay.
It's worth the hype, isn't it? Yeah, I know you love it too.
I love it too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We haven't been paid or sponsored. No. None of this is sadly
just
paid for.
Big fans.
Yeah.
Love that. And then I also love ANR by Estee Lauder.
Advanced Night Repair for those not in the beauty industry.
ANR for those in the biz. It's just a classic. I think it was my first proper skincare product.
It was mine. But why do you think it's such, now that you know the formulation and the ingredients, why do you think Advanced Night Repair is so effective?
I actually think, from a formula point of view, I think it's like, in terms of results, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's great. But like, it's a classic of that product at that time where it's kind of a bit of a mishmash. It's got loads of stuff in, does a lot. It's kind of a do-it-all product. But for me, it's really like the texture and the experience that's what makes
the
it
scent
so
I
great.
Love.
The scent,
and it's also the product that I always go to when I don't know what to put on my skin. Mm. I actually just defer back to that as a staple.
It just works.
Like a
treat.
White t-shirt of...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
little black dress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your favourite skincare ingredient and why?
This is quite boring, but probably hyaluronic acid.
Okay.
It's an oldie but a goodie. It just does everything. It's amazing. It's easy to work with. It's great on my skin personally. I've got very dry skin and I really notice when I'm not using it.
Can you recommend 3 hyaluronic products that anyone could buy today?
The Beauty Pie formula, I really like.
Okay.
The Ordinary is a great alternative. It's very cost effective.
Okay.
I find it very similar to the Barbara Sturm formula, but it's like a tenth of the price, so it's crazy. And then, bit of self-nom here, I'm actually working on the best hyaluronic acid formula I've ever worked on in history. And that one, I mean, for me, it's like a forever product.
I can't wait
now
to try my lab sample.
I'm excited.
Last question, can we get a bit personal?
Sure.
Putting you on the spot, can we go through what's in your handbag right now?
Okay.
I know you're unprepared for this.
No, I haven't. But... yeah, sure. It's holding on for dear life, this bag right now. It's chock-a-block.
When you shop, do you literally look at the back of the product? Yeah. For the ingredients? That's the first thing you do?
Yeah, definitely. Or I do love a good tester, to be fair. Play around. Okay, trusty Tangle teaser.
Okay.
Put that there. It's fantastic. Probably a bit big for this bag, but here we go. Oh my gosh, I've just got a fresh one of these. This is a brand new one.
Oh, my favourite too, La Mer Lip Balm.
It's amazing.
Worth every penny.
Oh, worth every penny. There you go, fractal one.
No, I won't dip into yours, but stunning.
And it is worth it because it does last for ages.
Yeah.
Probably
it feels like a treat, a real treat, like a treat, versus a Vaseline, which I also love.
True.
Yeah.
It smells amazing. And then I'm actually doing a bit of competitor research on like SPFs at the moment. So I'm trying this one from Toradan.
So far?
Korean brand. Liking it. It's got hyaluronic acid, quite lightweight. Korean SPFs are just amazing.
Okay.
Love that.
Anything else? Mary Poppins?
Oh, and then lab samples.
Lab samples. There we go.
Okay, one for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very excited.
This is a moisturizer I've been working on with ceramides and...
Does it have any scent in it yet or not?
No scent. Not going to add a scent,
actually. I'm going to smell it anyway, but anyway.
Okay. Yeah, very good scent to your skin.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting us go into your handbag and coming today.
Thanks for having me.
And just to be clear, no brands have asked you to feature or sponsor. You're not sponsored for any of these.
No, if La Mer are looking, though.
I'll give them a shout.
Yeah, I'll give them a shout.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.